This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Have you ever been discouraged? I mean, really discouraged? Did you go for a job interview and you thought the interview went well? You thought when you left, I believe I'll get this job. But then a week goes by, you don't hear anything. Another week goes by, you don't hear anything. And finally, you get up the nerve to call the secretary and you inquire, have you all filled the position that I interviewed for? They said, yes. I believe they've already filled that position. Oh, you were so discouraged. So discouraged. The world is filled with discouraged people. But I believe the Bible gives us some ideas about how we can help to overcome discouragement. That's what we want to talk about today, overcoming discouragement. Please stay tuned. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I'm delighted to have you watching today. And today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. Now, I emphasize it's free. We want you to have it in order that you might know a little bit more about the course and how you can receive the course and how you can take the course. We're going to pause at this time.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'd like to read now from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1, and I'll be reading down through verse number 3. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Some of you may remember the song that went something like this. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live every day without hearing a discouraging word? The word discouragement means to be deprived of confidence. It means that we're deprived of hope, that we're deprived of courage. And our world is literally filled with people who have been discouraged. An individual who attempts to take their life is discouraged in living. There are those that have become so discouraged in trying to find employment that some may give up. Some have been trying to find someone with whom they can spend the rest of their life, a husband, a wife. but they become discouraged in looking. See, there's so many things in life that can bring discouragement to us. And it's a common problem. Someone gave a little story about Satan's yard sale. And he had all kinds of items for sale. But the item that was for sale that he had the highest price tag on was an item called discouragement. You see, if he can discourage you, if he can discourage you from reading the Bible, discourage you from prayer, discourage you from worship, if he can discourage you from even believing and having faith, he has the battle won. That's one of his greatest tools, is discouragement. How do we overcome discouragement in our lives? And has it ever happened to anyone else? Well, Elijah became so discouraged on one occasion that he wanted to die. He actually told the Lord, "Take away my life that I might not live." What caused him to be discouraged? Well, he had challenged and destroyed the prophets of Baal. And now Jezebel, that wicked viper of a woman who was married to Ahab the king, was after Elijah. And he went and hid under a juniper tree. He was discouraged, so discouraged. He said, I'm all by myself. I'm all alone, discouraged. Don't you imagine that Moses was discouraged when he had leading the people through the wilderness? And they began to murmur and they began to complain, and they were saying, "We want to go back to Egypt. We remember all of the things that we had there in Egypt that we could eat, the food that we had. And now we're out here in the wilderness. You're going to let us starve. You're going to let us die." That would have had to have been a very discouraging thing. I think also about the Apostle Paul. And Paul would become discouraged. That was an occasion when Paul was stoned at Lystra and left for dead. Don't you imagine that was discouraging to that man? Let me tell you how discouraged Jeremiah the prophet became. Oh, he was God's man. I loved Jeremiah. I loved to study the book of Jeremiah. But he was God's man through and through. From the time before he's actually born, he was called to be the prophet of God. But he became discouraged. So much so that in the 20th chapter, he in verse 9, he explains that he thought that he would stop speaking in the name of God. He thought he'd get out of the ministry. Someone asked me one day, "Brother Lambert, have you ever thought about quitting? Have you ever become discouraged?" I said, "Every Monday morning." Now, you'd have to be a preacher to really appreciate that, because you see, every Monday morning, a preacher has to start getting ready for the next Sunday morning. You see, it's a cycle all over again. And so I've never thought about getting out of the ministry, but Jeremiah did. But he said, "I can't stop." He was so discouraged, he said, "I think I'll quit." But he said, "I can't, because God's word is like a fire burning in my bones." It was in his heart and in his soul, burning in him. You see, a lot of people have become discouraged. Don't you think Samuel was discouraged when Saul went off into the Amalekites to destroy the Amalekites, and then Samuel said, "I want to know what's the bleating of the sheep and all of that." He said, "Well, you know, the people wanted that. We brought back Agag the king." And Samuel was so discouraged that he thought that Saul had rejected him, that he wouldn't be the judge over him. No, Lord, God said, "No, no. Don't you be discouraged. He's not rejected you, but he's rejected me." You see, discouragement is something that affects people in every walk of life. And I think that I'm speaking to someone right now who has been discouraged. You say, "Well, you must be reading my mail, because yes, I'm discouraged. I don't want to even get up and go to work tomorrow. I don't want to even get up and go to school in the morning. I don't feel like doing anything. I'm so discouraged right now. I'm discouraged with my life. I'm discouraged with my marriage. I'm discouraged with my spiritual life. I'm discouraged with my job. What causes all of that? Well, let me give you some possible reasons for discouragement. One reason is you're physically and emotionally drained. I think that's what was wrong with Elijah when he said, "I'm ready to die." You're so discouraged, you see. Actually, he was in a state of depression, and he said, "I'm ready to die. Just let me go on and die, Lord." But it was because he was physically and emotionally drained. And he took a rest, and he ate, and then he was up doing God's business again. That would be one reason. I think another reason we become discouraged is unjust criticism. You know, people can be so harsh and cruel in what they say to us and about us sometime. That's the reason Jesus said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." We need to be careful about being censorious of other people, critical of other people, because it can be so discouraging. It can be so discouraging that some people give up on life itself. But another reason that people become discouraged is because they don't feel like that they are appreciated. I have known of preachers that, number one, have moved to another church somewhere. They would leave Church A and move over to Church B because they thought at Church A that they were not appreciated. I have known of preachers who got out of the ministry because they did not think they were appreciated. No one appreciated what they were doing. Well, if we were in the ministry, if we were preaching for appreciation, then we will get discouraged. But if we're in it to glorify God and to save souls, we'll never be discouraged. But I know you can be discouraged because you don't not appreciate. I've seen wives that were so discouraged because their husbands didn't show very much appreciation for them. They just felt like he took her for granted. One woman told me one day, he comes home, lays down on the sofa, goes to sleep. That's it. No bedtime, and he goes to bed, sleeps some more. She felt unappreciated. I think another reason that people become discouraged is because they depend too much on themselves and they depend too much on others. When you start depending on yourself for everything, brother, you're going to get discouraged. And you start depending on other people all the time, you're going to get discouraged. That's the reason we need to lean on the Lord and not on our own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And another reason people become discouraged is because they fail in a project. And they confuse failure in a project with failure in life. Someone said that Edison had about, I've read two different places where one said 10,000 failures, another 20,000 failures in inventing the light bulb before he invented the light bulb. I don't know how many failures he had, but he did not let failure discourage him. He kept on trying. He kept on trying. And we cannot let failure in a project discourage us from faith, and we feel like we've been a failure in life. We just need to get up and get going. You know, Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, the last verse of that chapter, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Somebody says, well, all that's well and good, Billy, but what I need to know, what's the cure for discouragement? I'm so discouraged right now that I don't know what to do. I just don't even want to get up and go anywhere. I don't want to even get up and get dressed. I've had on my pajamas all day long. I'm so discouraged. I'm so blue. I'm so despondent. What can I do? Well, you know, we read earlier from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter of Hebrews, And I believe there's some principles in those three little verses that we read that will help us to overcome discouragement in our lives. And the first thing that I notice is that to realize, folks, that we're not alone. You're never alone. He said, seeing we are compassed about, surrounded, encircled, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and then run with patience. You see, he's talking about how to overcome weariness and discouragement. He said that we need to look to Jesus. This is verse 3, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Well, you see, knowing that we have other people that are cheering us on, that are on our side, that saying you can do it will help me overcome discouragement. I remember some of the earlier days of my preaching. And I remember being in school, and my wife and I got married at about 2 weeks before the beginning of my sophomore year. And financially, those were some very, very tough times. And I became discouraged. I became so discouraged that I told her, I said, I think that we'll just quit school. We'll move back home. And I said, I'll go back and see if I can get a job back at the paper mill. Before I went off to school, I had been working for International Paper. And I said, I'll see if I can get a job at the paper mill. I became so discouraged. But she said, you're not going to quit. She is my great encourager. We all need some encouragement. And then I had an older preacher whom I respected said, you get back to school and you finish. And it was because I became encouraged that I was able to overcome the weariness that I felt. And you have people today that are cheering you on. It's the great company of witnesses. He says, who in the world is that? I personally think he has reference to the people back in chapter 11. The great heroes of faith who endured so many things that would discourage the average person. And he said, those are the people that are cheering your own. But here's another thing that'll help you overcome discouragement. Get rid of the things that are hindrances to you. He said, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. If you're discouraged, there's something weighting you down. I don't know what it might be, but there's something that's standing in the way. The hindrance is in the way. You've got to get it out of the way. Lay aside the obstacle. Lay aside the barrier. Lay aside the hindrance from running the race. Lay it aside. And then third, he said, run with patience. I learned when I was in my 30s, that to be a runner, you had to run with patience. And I ran every day for about 10 years until I ruined my knees running, and now I have artificial knees, and I can no longer run. I can walk, but not run. But I learned that you have to learn to pace yourself when you're running, and when you pace yourself, you have to be patient. Don't become impatient. And pace yourself. And we need to learn to run with patience. And another word for patience is endurance. We learn to run the race of life with endurance. That means we can't say, I quit. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Gentleman Jim Corbett, a prize fighter, had a motto. And his motto was, just one more round. That's endurance. That's patience. Then to overcome discouragement, we need to realize that we must look to Jesus. He says, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to rivet our attention on Jesus. He says, looking unto him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He had the patience to keep on running. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God, and he says, for consider him. And we, Jesus Christ, needs to be the core and the center of our attention. If you see, when we are discouraged, it's because we're focusing on something that is distracting to us. And if we will refocus and get our attention riveted on Jesus, riveted on the one who endured the cross, who despised the shame, who is waiting for us at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, we've got to have, remember, we have a goal to reach. And we have to keep our eyes on the goal. Paul put it like this in the Philippian letter, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is pretty slick. He's so deceptive. You see, he wants you to become discouraged. And the way that Satan will discourage you is by getting you distracted, getting you to look at the obstacles around you. You say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. Satan wants to stop you, hinder you, and he wants your soul. But you see, we can overcome discouragement. There's not a human being alive today that's not discouraged. Do you think the man who sits in the Oval Office never comes discouraged? You think that the doctor who goes to attend to sick people, and he sees so many sick people in a day's time, you think he never becomes discouraged? Do you think that the parents that have a house full of children, some whom listen to them and some who do not, do you think they never become discouraged? Do you think, here's a businessman, and business had been going good for a while, but now there's been a downturn. And because of that downturn in business, he's very, very discouraged. You see, we can overcome it, but we cannot overcome it alone. That's where Christ comes in. And Jesus Christ needs to be your lifeline. He needs to be your helper, your daily companion. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So if you're so discouraged, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to go to work, you don't want to go to school, you don't want to see anybody, you don't want to go out of the house, you don't want to go to church anymore, you don't want to do anything, I want you to know there's a way out. And the way out is simple. You need to realize that you're not by yourself. You need to have some endurance. And you need to get rid of the weights, the sins that are hindering you. And maybe the reason some of you are discouraged right now is because of a hindering sin in your life. Jesus is the one who can deal with that. And he's died on the cross to deal with our sins. It's His blood that was shed that was for the remission of our sins. And in order that we might have the remission of our sins, that we must and rid of ourselves of those weights and hindrances, whatever it might be. It might be an addiction. It could be any number of things that is weighting you down and discouraging you. I want you to know Jesus' blood is there for your benefit to wash your sins away. And that's how you're justified. That simply means that you'll be just as if you had never sinned in the sight of God. You believe in Christ. You repent of your sins. Confess that you believe in Jesus. And as a penitent, confessing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're baptized to have our sins washed away. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, we're told in Acts 22:16. Why? Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And washing away of sins comes after the act of baptism, not before it. We're not saved and then baptized. We're baptized and then saved. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." I want to urge you to give your life to Christ. That's helping you deal with the problem of discouragement. I want to thank you for watching today. And we want you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. If you're not certain where the church is located, then why don't you contact us and we will get the information for you. We do this many times during the week. People that would like to know where the Church of Christ is located in their community or nearest to them, and we get that information to you. And we would urge you to visit the Church of Christ at your earliest convenience. I was in the state of Illinois preaching. There's a couple came up to me and they said, we kept hearing you say, visit the Church of Christ in your community. And one Sunday morning we were driving by the building. We decided, let's just turn in and go. And they did, and they said, we've never gone anywhere else. I'd urge you to do that. And also pick up the telephone right now. Call for the free Bible correspondence course. And you can take this Bible course online. Many people do. But we'd urge you to take it, whether you take it with a booklet that we will send you free of charge or take it online. We'd urge you to do that. And we want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible. Let me do this. Please do this for me. Tell someone else about it. Encourage someone else to watch it with you. And so we want you to be a regular viewer of Getting to Know Your Bible. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.